Morning, everyone. Welcome along to church. It's great to see you here today. And can I really encourage you to stay back for lunch if you haven't planned to already. It's a great way to actually meet each other as well as have good food at the same time. My name's Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. And it's great that we can actually listen to Matthew's gospel and to hear the words of Jesus. But let me start off with a story. And I'll get Albie to go to the next slide there. The mother duck had been waiting for almost a month for her eggs to hatch. And finally today was a day. It was a day that it was finally going to happen. As all the animals were gathered around, there was a scratching sound. And then there was a couple of little taps, a few little pecks, until finally a little beak breaks through. A fluffy ball of yellow feathers comes out. It's a baby duck. And it happens with each of those eggs until there's only one left. But as the baby breaks out, its color isn't quite right. The shape isn't quite right. And right from the start, this duck doesn't stand a chance. He's picked on by all the other ducks, and not just by the ducks, but by the rest of the animals that's there on the farm. They join in as well. He's made fun of, he's teased, he's abused, until finally he runs away. Now life doesn't get any better. Things go from bad to worse. He lives with some ducks and geese in the wild, but they're slaughtered by a hunter. He finds a home with an old woman and a cat, but the cat teases and mocks and laughs and drives him out. He spends the whole winter by himself in a cave, until finally when spring comes, there's a flock of swans landing on the lake. By now the duckling has grown up. He can't stand being by himself anymore. And so he decides it's better to be killed by these graceful birds than to live by himself. But when he goes out, to his surprise, the swans don't attack him. They don't laugh at him. Instead, they welcome him in. They accept him. And when he sees his reflection in the lake, he realizes he's one of them. He's not a duck. He's a swan. He's finally found his home. The Ugly Duckling by Hans Christian Andersen. It's a little bit darker in the older version compared to what we have nowadays. It kind of gets sanitized for the kids nowadays. 170 years old. But it's still a classic, a story of transformation, that you can be beautiful in your own world. It's a story with a deeper meaning. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells a number of stories with a much deeper meaning. We're going to be looking at just one of them today, and then next week we're going to see a few of them there as well. The one today is quite familiar, but don't let that make you glaze over it. Don't think to yourself, yeah, I know this already, because otherwise we're the people that's there in verse 15. Our hearts are calloused, our ears are deaf. Jesus here is actually talking about life and death. He's saying these stories help us to understand that we can be making sure that we're standing on the last day right in front of God. This is a pretty big story that we need to listen to. And he says to the people back then, and he says to us today, whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, friends, I hope that you've got ears, spiritually. Why don't we pray and ask that God might help us to hear? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray, Lord, that we might hear your word properly and take to heart. We ask, Lord, that you will do a good work in us. Stir your word in us by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you as we go through this parable, as we go through that passage that was read out for us. If you've got any questions, save them up. We've got a question and answer time afterwards. Take a look at verse 1. Get Albert to go to the next slide. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. I just want you to picture the scene for a moment. The lake there is a Sea of Galilee, and maybe Jesus has gone out to go admire the view. He's gone out of the house and sitting by the lake. But that nice, peaceful tranquility doesn't last very long. A large crowd of people come up to hear him, to see what he has to say. And the crowd is so huge, he has to get into a boat so that he doesn't get swamped by everyone. Now, just as a side little note, local tradition places this story taking place in a cove called the Cove of Parables. It's a naturally formed horseshoe, and scientists have actually done tests of the acoustics that when there's a crowd, you can hear from being out in the cove. It's kind of nice. Just a bit of a side tip. But Jesus is out on the boat, and then he tells a story. And it's a simple story that even children get. There's a farmer who goes out scattering seed. And as he throws it up, the seed falls onto four different types of soil. Along the path, on rocky places, among the thorns, and in the good soil. The seed on the path gets eaten by the birds. The seed on the rocky places, it springs up, but then dries up and withers because of the sun. The seed among the thorns grow, but then so do the thorns. They grow up as well, and it chokes the life out of the seed. But the seed on good soil produces a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown in the first place. That's the story. It's easy, it's memorable, easy to picture. Now imagine if that was the end of the story, that was all we got up to verse 9. When you sow seed, you get different results. Path is bad, rocks are bad, thorns are bad. If it's good soil, there's a crop. End of story. See you tomorrow. And that was it. If that's all, what is Jesus talking about? Because it sounds like he's giving farming advice. You know, if you want a crop, make sure you avoid the rocks. And I say that because, did you see in verse 10, that's what the crowd hears. That's all they get. They don't get part two. They don't get the explanation. Can you imagine being there and you've heard it up to verse 9? You go home and your wife asks, how was it? How was it when you went to see Jesus? And you reply saying, oh, it was great. He said something about a farmer and sowing seed. Different places, different things happen. If you want to have a crop, make sure the ground's good. It was great. We'll go there together next time. Take a look at verse 10. The picture here is that the crowds have gone, and now it's the disciples. And they ask him, why do you speak to the people in parables? The farmer, the seed, the soil, what does it mean? But before Jesus explains the parable, he says something pretty strange in verse 11. He says, parables don't actually explain, they divide, they separate. Take a look at verse 11. Jesus replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. A lot of times we think that parables, they make it easier for people to understand what he's talking about. And sometimes they do. But Jesus doesn't say that here, does he? Parables divide between those who are on the inside and those who are on the outside. Those who are genuinely part of the kingdom of heaven and those who aren't. Verse 14 is actually a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is a prophet 700 years before Jesus. And his job from God is to tell people, turn back to God. And in Isaiah 6, God tells him that people are not going to listen to you. They'll see you, they'll hear you, but they won't get it. Not because it's confusing, but because their hearts are hard. It's not that they can't listen, they won't listen. And Jesus is saying the same thing happens whenever he speaks. Parables divide people. Between those who want to feel good about themselves, I saw Jesus, I saw a celebrity, I heard a great talk, church was great, we even saw a baptism. But their hearts are hard, and they hear the word of God, they see the King, and it makes no difference. But those who are part of the kingdom of God, they have ears to hear. They want to see. Hearing the Bible come to church, it's not just about ticking a box. It's not that they've done their job for the week. It's seeing that Jesus is King and having Jesus as King. That's the divide. How they approach Jesus. How they listen to Jesus. And so, to the ones who want to hear, he explains the parable. The different soil, their different responses to Jesus. The message about Jesus, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the soil means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed is the message about the kingdom, the message that Jesus is king and he needs to be our king. That's the seed. And the seed that falls on the path, they're like people who hear the word of God and it goes in one ear and out the other. They don't want to listen. They don't care about it. Satan takes away that life-giving word. It's like the Pharisees who refuse to listen. I remember talking to a guy, this is a few years back. We saw the Christ Files at Chatswood Hoyts. Christ Files is a documentary looking at the historical evidence for Jesus. And it's a good documentary. They interview genuine historians. They look at the facts. There's good reasons to believe, or at least to think about it. We'd just seen the whole documentary, and I asked him afterwards, what did he think? Didn't care. Actually, he was almost offended that I asked. His mind was already made up. I'm sure you know people who are like that as well. Don't want to have a bar of Jesus. Seed that falls on the path. The next two pictures are pictures of rejection as well. But here's the scary thing. They look Christian on the outside. Verse 20. People who are like the rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away. The ground is shallow. They have no roots. It's the person who's enthusiastic at the start. They want the things that Jesus gives. But when there's a cost, when things don't turn out the way that they want them to, they give up. Now, friends, I've seen people like this. I've read the Bible with people like this. Christianity is just about what I get. The happiness that it brings, the short-term peace and joy, but it doesn't sink in. And actually, Christianity is just skimming the surface. A relationship with God, if he's the Lord of the universe, you don't skim the surface of that. You dive into that. You know, if you imagine a marriage partner, you don't sort of just superficially get to know them. You dip your toe in the water of starting to know them a little bit. Now, if they're your partner, you know them. You dive into that relationship. You grow in that relationship. It's got to be the same for God. That type of Christianity, where there's no roots, where it's just skimming the surface, superficial, it doesn't last. Verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. These have got to be two of the biggest faith killers here on the North Shore. The worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth. The worries of life, paying off the mortgage, stress at work, running around because you're always studying degrees after degrees, worrying about relationships, your health. There's a right place for all of those things, but is it drowning out our relationship with God? The deceitfulness of wealth. And wealth promises a lot, doesn't it? We want the good life, but the good life is not cheap. We have to pay the bills. There are holidays to book. It all adds up. We want to provide the best for our kids. And so we work hard to get ahead. We put in the hours to get a job that pays a salary, that affords a life that I want. And the biggest deceit of wealth is that it says to us, I'm okay. You're fine. It's just the way that things are. I'm sure God is okay with that. That's the deceit of wealth. Now, when I use that word faith killers, I mean that. It kills our faith. The busyness and worries of life, chasing after wealth and success, the good life. What's getting in the way for you? And maybe the bigger question is, what are you going to do about it? Because the good soul is in verse 23. They're the person who hears the word and understands it, and it makes a difference. It produces a harvest, a crop. A crop in terms of others coming to know Jesus as we go tell other people about Christ. A crop in terms of a life that is changed. And it means life now and life to come. Now, again, I can say, thankfully, praise God, I've seen people in our church who are exactly like what's described here. People who have put their trust in Jesus since coming to Barney's. It's brilliant to see. I've had people put their hands up to serve in the past month who have messaged me or called me or sought me out, giving, whether it's money or giving their time. You see that harvest. You see the word of God making a difference. A crop 160, 30 times what was sown. That's what it's supposed to look like. Whoever has ears, let them hear. What is it that we need to hear today from Matthew 13? And just go to the next slide there, Albert. There's two things that I want us to look at. The first is that this seed is still being sown today as we go and tell people about Jesus. That activity that we see there, it's still happening. Matthew 13 tells us there's going to be different responses as we do that, so don't be surprised. There'll be some people who reject it outright. Some people will respond with excitement, but they drop away. Others will stick around until something distracts them. There'll be some who hear and understand and trust that Jesus is King. And in them, the message about Jesus will bring life and rest and abundance. And so as we as a church, as we as individuals, as we try to reach out, we should expect all of those responses. There will be rejection. Don't let that turn you off. It can be discouraging, but don't be surprised by that. But there are also going to be others who are saved. And friends, that is worth it. And so here, the part of the message is keep sowing. Keep telling people about Jesus because that's how the kingdom keeps growing. That's how people are saved. Keep inviting people to church. Whether we have a mission Sunday later in August or any Sunday here at church, keep telling people about Jesus. Keep praying. Sowing is happening even today. That's the first thing. Keep sowing. The second thing is to keep growing. The parable of the soils is what Jesus calls it, but it's also the parable of the four soils, isn't it? This actually describes us. It's as if Jesus is in the room saying this same parable to us right now. And as we think about ourselves and we put ourselves in one of those four categories, it should make us squirm a little bit. It's like when you're going through a yearbook and you find your own picture and you find your own description. That's what we see as we read this parable. We go through it and we find our own description in one of these four soils. Which of those types of soil, if we're honest with ourselves, which one are you? What are you in danger of? If you've already made up your mind that this is just a bunch of stories, it teaches nice morals, that's about it, can I encourage you to look again? That's the first soil, it's being on the path. The fact that Jesus could be the Son of God, that he's at the heart of the kingdom of God, that's too big to ignore. If you're coming along, it's great to have you. Can I encourage you to look into who Jesus is? At the end of that, you still might not believe, and that's fine. But at least you've looked into it. Read the rest of Matthew's gospel. Do Christianity Explored. Talk to me afterwards. Don't just reject Jesus here because he's too big. Or maybe if we think about the rocky ground, maybe being a Christian is great, but you know that your faith is only skin deep. You like the idea of it. You like the nice things that it gives you. There's a sense of peace. The people are nice. It's good for the kids. And yet there's no cost in following Jesus. There's no deep-seated lordship of Christ. It's too easy to skim the surface and just be a bystander. When hard times come, and they will, the danger is we will just dry up and wither. Sink your roots into Jesus. If you're on the edge, just looking in on everyone else, dive in. The God of the universe is too big just to have at a distance. Make sure that we're not superficial Christians, skin deep. But maybe you're picture number three. And the thorns there, there are thorns coming through. The scary thing is, it's hard to see the thorns. When you have a garden, everything looks green after it's just been mowed, and then slowly things start to grow, and you realize actually there's a few weeds, but they're hard to spot along the way. Remember the two faith killers, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the bills to pay, the kids to drive, the house that you're renovating or buying. Are you someone where work is getting bigger and bigger? You're climbing the ladder. You're spending more and more time at work. There's degrees you're studying for just to get ahead. And again, they're not bad things. But if you look back, did you used to serve, but you don't do much anymore? Was there a time where you used to be passionate for Christ, but now he's kind of actually getting smaller? The things that are distracting us, it's so easy to say, it doesn't matter, everyone's doing it. Do you see how seriously Jesus takes it? He says it chokes the life out of us. If there are no weeds in your life, either you've reached perfection or you're fooling yourself. Take this seriously because Jesus does. We want to be the good soil, don't we? We want to be the good soil. We want to hear the message about Jesus and we want to do what he says. Here is the one who gives rest. Here is the Lord of the Sabbath. Here is the one who loves us so much who'll go to the cross. And as we obey him, it produces a crop 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. It means being fruitful. And that is the good life. When we see that, it's exciting. It's like seeing this huge tree. And when you see this massive tree, somehow there's this awe and excitement as you go, wow, that's impressive. Or when you're going out and you're driving past a field and there's this whole field spreading out and it's vast. A crop that's bright yellow or whatever it is, it just grabs you. That's the rich life. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's rich, not just in this world, but in the life to come. This parable, it is so easy to understand, isn't it? It's straightforward. We teach this in Scripture. But how we let it hit us this morning, it divides us. The seed, the message, what are we going to do with it? There are four responses, but only one of them is right. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that these words said 2,000 years ago are said just as powerfully to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will stir us, that you will help us to have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the hearts that want to obey you and understand. Help us, Father, to be aware of those areas that we need to change, the weeding that needs to take place, the areas that we need to repent. We ask, Lord, that we might be the good soil and that you might produce a crop in us of abundance that wells up into eternal life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.